Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for the Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined in the studio by Martin Hayden, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and Fine Gael TD for Kildare South, Pádraig McLoughlin, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal and spokesperson on Fisheries and the Marine. Louise Byrne is here, political correspondent at the Irish Daily Mirror, and Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, who's law lecturer at the South East Technological University. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for being here today. Now, Martin, I'll start with you because several Fine Gael TDs stood up in the Dáil only yesterday, and they claimed that Sinn Féin still have questions to answer about Jonathan Dowdall and Sinn Féin. But your own party colleague, Senator Regina Doherty, said that if you go down that road, it's not going to win you any votes. Where do you stand? Who do you agree with?
Well, look, I think, you know, the case that has just been before the Special Criminal Court is of great public interest, and I think it does lead to a number of questions, a number of different elements. I do think, on the basis of what Mary Lou McDonald has said, there are questions. You know, she has discounted that Sinn Féin knew anything about Jonathan Dowdall's past, yet it came up in the court case that, you know, from the perspective of senior figures in Sinn Féin, had questioned him about shootings back long before he was a councillor, and he still was a councillor. And then there was the time after he was elected as a councillor where Mary Lou McDonald convinced him to stay when he was thinking of leaving. So there are questions in those areas. But the bigger question for me is, you know, we've seen the Special Criminal Court actually do its job really, really well here. And this is something that's been, along with the Offences Against the State Act, has been a key institution in this state since 1972. And Sinn Féin have always either opposed it or in more recent times abstained, or one year went missing from a vote. That happens every year, and it's going to happen again in June. And I want to ask Pádraig, you know, is that Special Criminal Court, are Sinn Féin once and for all going to support it, because it's protected people, it's kept our society safe from, you know, people who are involved in organised crime?
Okay, Pádraig, what do you say?
Yeah, I listened to some of the comments. I mean, Colin Brophy was one of the TDs who spoke yesterday for Fine Gael, and Colin Brophy represents Dublin South West, and there's very few constituencies in Ireland that have been worse.
Can I stop you there? Because he's not here, and I just want to keep the conversation to ourselves, if that's okay.
Yeah,
because he said things under privilege in the Dáil that I don't really want to get into on this programme.
Yeah, that's no problem. Just what I noted was he said nothing about his own constituency, which is one of the constituencies worst affected by organised crime. Nothing to say about his own constituency. And I think people can read between the lines here. I mean, Jonathan Dowdall, you know, obviously left our party in 2015. It was reported in papers like the Irish Independent that he alleged that he'd been bullied and so on. He had a lot of support from people who are now, you know, asking questions on his behalf, that are concerned about statements that he's made in court. I mean, I'm not going to get into, I mean, the judges have spoken about his credibility. But what I will say, and I'll repeat what Mary Lou and what so many of us have said, is that if we had any inkling that this man was involved in the type of criminality, that he was the type of person that he turned out to be, of course he would be nowhere near Sinn Féin. And he's certainly been a public representative.
That's an incredible line.
So just to be very, very clear, because, you know, we heard this stuff from Colin Brophy and now from Martin, who's obviously reading out the notes that he's been asked to deliver by Fine Gael headquarters. I don't think anybody seriously believes that Mary Lou McDonald, would happily allow somebody involved in that type of criminality to remain in Sinn Féin. Are you seriously suggesting that, Martin?
Well, Mary Lou McDonald said in 2015, when she was asked about the bullying allegations, she said she was aware of the minutiae details of everything to do with Jonathan Dowdall. She actually said that in 2015. It's written down. And now
That's not what I asked you, Martin. With respect, Martin, I asked you, do you believe that Mary Lou McDonald would have allowed somebody like that, if she had known, you know, everything that emerged. The first time, and I can speak...
You've asked me a question, let me answer it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's credible that Mary Lou McDonald can say she didn't know anything about conversations with senior officials in Sinn Féin before Jonathan Dowdall was elected and ran and had his posters printed for Sinn Féin. He was questioned about shooting incidents in Dublin, and Mary Lou McDonald now says she didn't know
Hold on. Now, be very careful here. But you're now parroting what was said in court by a witness who's been...
Oh,
totally discredited. No, no, no. No, he didn't.
Happened.
No, no. Be very careful here, Martin. You said questioned. You said questioned by Sinn Féin officials. That was the words of Jonathan Dowdall. Now, he can speak for himself. That is not what happened. What happened was the Director of Elections in Dublin, Brian Keane at that time, as you well know, in a political party, a Director of Elections has to engage with all candidates. So in the course of a conversation with a candidate in that election, that candidate raised an incident a number of years ago.
Discussions then about a shooting
incident.
No,
you said questioned. He wasn't questioned by anybody in Sinn Féin.
You're into semantics now.
No.
So Mary Lou MacDonald says she had no sense that there was anything shady about his past, yet senior officials in Sinn Féin, before he was ever a candidate, had a discussion with him about shooting.
Okay, Pádraig, can we come back to the Special Criminal Court question here?
Yeah.
And what is Sinn Féin's position now on the Special Criminal Court in light of what Mary Lou MacDonald said after this verdict, where she commended their work?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Amnesty International, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, the former president, Mary Robinson, it's not just Sinn Féin that has historically had concerns about the Special Criminal Court and the non-jury aspect of it. But our party at Ard Fhéidh in 2021 have now passed a policy that we do believe that in exceptional circumstances that there will be a need for a non-jury court.
So what happens in June when the vote comes up again in the Dáil?
Well, as you know, the legislature, so there's been a review of this whole area. And it's been delayed, the publication of that review. I don't know why, but it's been delayed and delayed. So when that is published, there's going to be recommendations for legislative change. And we look forward to those recommendations. We look forward to supporting the changes.
I suppose it was just when we heard Mary Lou commending their work, you wondered why the decision had been taken by Sinn Féin to support the Special Criminal Court.
Well, Ard Fhéidh in 2021... passed a policy that in exceptional circumstances we accept. I mean, basically what you require, and you know, this is where I get frustrated with Fine Gael, because you look at Sinn Féin councillors and TDs all across the state. We represent the communities that are worst affected by organised crime. You know, we deal with the outworkings of organised crime, the impact, the devastation left in communities. And we see communities that are not resourced properly. We see in Garda Síochána it's not resourced properly. If you talk to people on the front line of in Garda Síochána, you can talk to them all the time. Community. Do they feel this government has their back? Absolutely not. So they find it laughable when they see
this.
Jennifer wants to come in there. We haven't heard from Jennifer and Louise yet.
The thing is, the Special Criminal Court is only used for exceptional circumstances. That has never changed. It has to be certified that it is a suitable case for there. It's been tested already in the superior courts and there is a need for it. So the fact that it has to be voted in every year is recognising the fact that it is a deviation from the constitutional norms of trial by jury. So to say that you only want it for exceptional circumstances is exactly the rationale of the Special Criminal Court. It's not used for your average everyday crime. It is a specialised court for a specific reason.
Okay, Louise?
I do think we did hear kind of a shift in the Sinn Féin narrative on the Special Criminal Court yesterday. The party's justice spokesperson, Pat Daly, he stood up and he said that this review into the reform of the Special Criminal Court was due, and that if that modernised the court, well then Sinn Féin, I don't know if he said, anticipates it will accept it or expects to accept it. So that sounded like a major shift from Pat Daly, and then you've Mary Lou standing up and saying that they stand fully behind the Special Criminal Court.
Right. There's something very ironic about Mary Lou MacDonald welcoming the decision of a Special Criminal Court to convict Jonathan Dowdall, a court that wouldn't exist if Sinn Féin were in government. Okay. That's the fact.
I want to move on, Pádraig, because I want to talk about Robert Watt's appearance at the Finance Committee. And Louise, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about this, so much commentary again today in the papers. What do you think the fallout will be from that appearance?
I think this it has legs, and I think it's going to continue on for another couple of weeks. I think Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, he was saying yesterday, he was asked about, you know, Mr. Watt's tone, and I have to say the Finance Committee was the talk of Leinster House earlier this week, and that's not something that happens very often. No offence to the Finance Committee, but everyone was talking about the way that Robert Watt went in, the way that he spoke, the way that he kind of addressed the issues, and we saw the committee chairman John McGuinness pull him up on it as well. Stephen Donnelly said yesterday that we don't sanction based on tone, which was an interesting enough reason. But I think a lot of the opposition are calling for some kind of accountability. A lot of them really unhappy with the way that Robert Watt went in and spoke to them. The fact that they had to seek powers of compellability, and it was only when they got those powers that Mr. Watt said that he would come in voluntarily. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot more questions to be answered. I think the committee are now calling for Maura Quinn to come in. Whether that happens or not, it remains to be seen. But I think there's a lot more to go on this.
Yeah, it's hard to know where to go with this, Martin, because in the first instance, it's highly unusual, isn't it, for a Secretary General and a Minister to disagree when we look at the acceptance of the report in very basic terms. And it has been said by Sinn Féin that it asks a lot of questions about Stephen Donnelly and his authority.
Well, I think Stephen Donnelly's authority isn't up for question here at all. He commissioned the report. He's fully accepted the findings of that report, and he, along with government, have agreed to fully implement that report.
But what do you think it says if his Secretary General can go into that committee and say, well, I don't accept it?
You know, I actually didn't get to see the... I've read reports about the committee and obviously heard discussion about it, but I didn't actually get to see what happened at the committee during the week. But, you know, it's kind of a moot point in a way. Like, government sets policy, we've decided and agreed this, and like all public servants, whether it's us as politicians or senior civil servants, are open to scrutiny. That's what happened in our Oireachtas committees this week. And you know, while decisions were made around this proposed secondment with the best of good faith, you know, the process has highlighted deficiencies there that the recommendations will address, and government is determined
but
to
is it
them.
A moot point if two senior civil servants can get together and say, well, we're going to move this person into academia, and we're also going to send investment to Trinity College worth $2 million a year, possibly for 10 years. It's hardly a moot point, is it?
But it didn't happen. So the process worked. So like, if you take my role in the Department of Agriculture, where I have responsibility for our research policy, and we have a fund of $20 million a year addressing the key issues facing farmers in our food production system, the vast majority of that is done through competitive calls, and for good reason. So, you know, I don't think this research proposal would have never taken off, because I don't think the Minister would have approved it.
Jennifer, you work in academia, so you're probably our expert on this. Do you think that the fact that it didn't happen is enough here, that settles it?
Well, on the finance side it is, because the money isn't going there and the appointment didn't happen. But there were so many other people that were named in that report. I think they should have all have been in the one committee hearing, because you can't make one person accountable for what another person knew or didn't know. You have to ask them that question directly themselves. But look, Robert Watt has that kind of personality. I don't think anyone would have been surprised with the way that he handled the committee. That is just Robert Watt being Robert Watt. And at the end of the day, he is part of the executive. The Oireachtas is to hold the executive to account. That's what all the constitutional structures are based on. So it was perfectly... He was right in going in and answering the questions. But I totally agree. There's far more legs on this. And I think it will be time for the others involved to actually come into the same scrutiny.
And how
as well.
Fair was it, coming from the academic background that you do, that secondment would have gone ahead, that Tony Hulan would have been put in that position?
Yeah. So if someone is going for an academic job nowadays, you have to have so much research funding behind you already, loads of publications. The PhD now is pretty much the bare minimum just to even get interviewed. And if you're comparing Tony Holohan to somebody going through the open academic process to get appointments, it did put a lot of people's noses out of joint that somebody was being seen to be set up with this type of arrangement. So for a lot of academics, it was a lot of questions about the processes, even with Trinity, that this was going to be set up.
So if he
way.
Was going for that gig independently, are you saying he wouldn't have gotten the job?
Well, we can't say, because we're not an interview panel, but I have seen people with huge qualifications, huge CVs, not getting jobs that everyone would think that they would get, because it has just gone so, so competitive.
Porrick, on the Stephen Donnelly question, having seen, I'm sure, or read about that performance from Robert Watt this week, do you think there are questions for the Minister?
Yeah, there are questions, and there have been questions for a while, and how... I mean, you know, he the buck stops with him. He's in charge, and he says that he had no awareness of all of this. And then, of course, you have you have Martin Fraser, you have Deirdre Glan, you have all these senior people who all dispute the account given by. So, you know, these senior officials, you would have thought, now, you know, this is quite a long period after this whole debacle, you would have thought by now, and Watt going in and doing what he did with the committee, that he would have had a conversation with Watt. You know, and he would have said, it's time to draw a line under this. There's recommendations
take
there.
Take the heat out of it.
Yeah, I expect these recommendations to be implemented. It's time to learn the lessons from that episode. It was clearly mishandled. And, you know, I expect a different way of working.
And listen,
that's what a David Cullinan, for example, if he was the Minister of Health, I expect him to do. Yeah.
And just on that, because you've taken me there now, if you were in government after the next election, could you see yourself being able to work with Robert Watt?
Well, that's going to be an interesting challenge. I mean, I think that one of the concerns, and a lot of people talk to Sinn Féin about what we could expect if we were in government.
Yeah.
And one of the big challenges is dealing with the, you know, obviously the senior figures in the various departments and asking them to implement a programme for government that we have. But I would expect, I'd expect that a Sinn Féin ministers, particularly I'm thinking of David Cullinan, Pearse Doherty, Owen O'Brien, these types of people, I would expect them to oversee senior officials and get their programme implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't, then, you know, the people will have their say at the next
You don't
election.
Think the minister would have to toe the line when it comes to dealing with Robert Watt as opposed to being the other way around?
Well, you see, this is the thing, you know, I mean, Stephen Donnelly is accountable to the people. He has to face the people at the next election. And I know if I were him, I would be having a serious conversation with the senior officials, the SecGens, the people who I work hand in glove with to implement government policy. I wouldn't have expected that to happen if I were the Minister for Health.
Now, Martin...
Owen O'Brien previously talked about sacking people.
So, he retracted that. He apologised and retracted that. Listen, John Paul Phelan announcing his decision not to run at the next election. I just was interested to see a report last night where Leo Varadkar was asked, did he have any friends left in Fine Gael? Are you expecting that more TDs will bail out before the next election?
So, look, John Paul's a good friend and a colleague since he's been involved in politics longer than me. So while he's young, you know, he was first elected as a councillor at the age of 19 or 20 and was one of the youngest senators ever in the country as well. So he's a lot of time put in the political system.
But he's young and has a lot of energy left. And, you know, if you had confidence that you were going to go on and be a party of government, surely you'd stay in. Not speaking particularly now about John Paul Phelan, but
I don't think it's fair to talk about any
TDs.
Particular. Yeah, and look, I have a number of colleagues there who have announced they're not going to run the next election for a variety of different reasons. And it's a huge honour to do this job, but I'm not talking about John Paul specifically when I say this, but that, you know, it is a big strain on the people around you and on your families and stuff. So for a variety of different reasons, depending on how far you live from the Dáil, these are all contributing factors. But the fact is that Fine Gael, you know, this is the national natural evolution that happens. We have some people who have served in politics over 20 years. We have some members who have served over 40 years. And then we have, in the last election, 5 new TDs. We have a parliamentary party of 50 people.
Yeah, but you have a lot of big beasts, a lot of younger people, as we mentioned, who are walking away now from the Taoiseach. Like, what does it say about the party?
But I'm a member of the Fine Gael National Executive, and we're the governing body who organise the conventions, and our focus is clearly on the upcoming European and local elections and conventions for them. And then after that will be the general election preparation. But we have a wealth of talent around the country, and our councillors who are looking to put themselves forward for election and who are very, very capable. And if you look at the last general election as a good example of that, notwithstanding a difficult election for Fine Gael, we elected 5 new TDs, 2 of whom are now very highly rated ministers. 3 are really up and coming stars. And that's not to mention the talent we have in the Shannon. So
should be in sales, Martin. Louise,
this is generational renewal. This will happen whether you're in government or not. That generational renewal will happen, and it will be good for the party.
Louise, I'm just laughing because I heard the Taoiseach give the same sales pitch yesterday. Listen, I think there is a point. I think politics is more taxing than ever, and you also have the abuse side of things. But I think it's interesting that so many people are walking away younger. I think if you perhaps look at some of the people who are walking away, some of them, many of them have been overlooked for promotion in the Fine Gael ranks. It is seen as, and some people have said that to me again this week.
But does that not say more about politics as a whole as opposed to one particular party, or does it? What do you think?
No, absolutely. But I think, you know, it's often talked about the Leo Varadkar five-a-side team. Many of that five-a-side team have now left the pitch. I said most of it, you're still there. But a lot of them were overlooked for gigs kind of as time went on. And it seems to me, from discussions I've had with people, that there was an awful lot of disillusionment after that, perhaps when Leo Varadkar became Taoiseach. I think there's going to be another, from what I'm hearing, 7 or 8 people walking away. Some of them are kind of older TDs. Some of them have 30, 40 years under their belt. What someone was saying to me earlier in the week, actually, is that one thing about Fine Gael is they have people who aren't even 50 but have 20 years of experience in politics. And that's another reason why people are leaving. But I think it's going to be an interesting one to watch, because Leo Varadkar is predicting that they're going to gain another 10, 15 seats in the next election. And it'll be interesting to see where they think they're going to make those gains when there are so many people walking away.
Have you got the candidates to replace all those, Martin? Because they're queuing up for Sinn Féin, we hear.
Oh no, we definitely do. Yeah, we've great talent in the party, and it's there. We had a very good local elections last time, and those people have cut their teeth under local authorities, and we have people who aren't in politics right now who are interested in running as well. So yeah, there'll be no problem. There'll be high caliber candidates for Fine Gael.
Jennifer, what's your take on it? And you know, I'm using the resignation of John Paul Phelan, but he's not the only one, and he's given very particular reasons for going. And we are, as Louise said, expecting more.
Yeah. Look, politics is a lot tougher than what it used to be, and I think social media has a huge impact on that. What I'm more concerned is seeing that we have more women, more people from diverse backgrounds running, because we need that representation in the Dáil. So whatever, whoever's coming or going...
The quotas have forced the female representation.
And it's a pity that they had to come into force, that it wasn't a case that women were organically pushing themselves forward. But... When we were talking about all those people who are under 50 who have so much time served in politics, like my generation, we're going to have about 2-3 different careers. This is just the same thing that's happening. Yeah. And when you're looking at the pressure that they're put under, not just the commuting up and down, you know, the scrutiny that they're under, there's a lot of easier ways to earn that kind of money or better money. Mm-hmm. And they are looking at that and they're saying there's an easier way for me to have privacy. There's an easier way for my kids, my partners, not to be getting slagged walking down the road, being able to go in, just get a bottle of milk and somebody's asking where the medical cards are. So we also have to recognise that politicians and politics, it's a career like any other, and they also need to be given their space when they are not actually in doing that job, because otherwise you will just get people going for realising the pressure, not running for it again, or some people just going in and staying in because they don't want anything else.
Listen, can we talk about all the money that you have, Martin, that's come in from corporation tax and even more expected now down the line? I was talking to Tony Foley about this. He doesn't believe that you should spend any of it, or at least very little. But you have this problem now, this balance to strike, don't you? Because people will see that all of that money is there. You'll have all of the demands there to spend it to help people out during high rates of inflation. And if you leave it in the bank, Sinn Féin might come in after the next election and have a whale of a time.
Well, the reason we have so much money is because we've managed the economy really well. We've grown it. We've supported.
No, you're getting it from corporation tax receipts.
Oh, yeah, but we've created the environment for employers to base themselves here, for small, medium-sized business to employ hundreds of thousands of people. And that is a fact. You know, we've a thriving rural economy now
as well
as an urban
economy.
Okay,
what are you going to do with the money? That's my question.
So look, the Taoiseach has outlined very clearly, and Minister McGrath as well, we will have a tax package and we will have a social welfare package in the upcoming budget. That's right and appropriate at a time of high cost of living on people. And we're very keen that, you know, workers have more money in their pocket after the next budget, because that's fair. You know, we know we want to get to that rate of
that'll drive up inflation.
We want to get to the point where workers who are earning up to 50,000 aren't in the higher rate of tax, and we've made good progress getting to 40,000. There's more progress to be made in that
space.
So
you are going to spend it?
That's some element. But we are also, as the Taoiseach has outlined, you can't talk about our surplus without talking about our national debt, which is very high. And we have to be cognizant of that, and we have to look to pay some of that down. And then the other point that I think really resonates with me as a TD who was first elected in 2011 is where the Taoiseach has been talking about an anti-austerity fund, a counter-cyclical fund that I think most economists would see is a very prudent thing. When we came in 2011 with the Troika in charge, and when Fine Gael was elected in that election, we had no fund.
Yeah, there was nothing in the tank.
And we had to bring in austerity measures that really, at the worst time for the economy, contracted, but we had to get to a balanced budget.
So
the reason we have such challenges in housing now is we didn't have that fund in those
early years
to be able to spend when there was capacity in the economy. So an anti-austerity fund, a counter-cyclical fund, is a really important element.
Pork, what do you think? Do you agree with all of that?
Yeah, I think it was Michael Regan. What did he say? That the country's awash with money, but young people can't afford buy a home or even rent a home. And that's a profound failing of Fine Gael, who've been in government for 12 years. And you have an emergency, you have a disaster across the country in terms of housing particularly. Of course, we have big issues in our health service too. So I think that's the two priorities that the government absolutely need to focus on. But yes, there's also a need to set aside some money if Sinn Féin...
So you agree with the anti-austerity fund idea?
Well, we've had issues with, you know, the reserve fund, and I think they've been justified. But we'll engage with government on that. I mean, we're obviously we need to look at our debt to GDP ratio. There has to be, you know, you have to be sensible in terms of the long term of your finances. So we're not opposed to the you know, setting aside some money for the future and being responsible. But there is clearly adequate resources to address the housing crisis in a really urgent way. You know, I mean, if I look at, you know, there's not now a
but
consistency.
But there's so much money being devoted to housing now that it can't be spent because you can't get the workers and you can't get things off the ground, it would seem.
If you look at the range of things, I mean, if you talk to local authorities, for example, mine is Donegal, the level of bureaucracy is absolutely infuriating in terms of getting projects over the line, 18-month time delays. If you look at vacant properties, it's just in so many ways they need to get a grip of this. They now have the financial resources. That's really welcome. And they need to now apply themselves with utter urgency on that issue, but also in terms of the health service. These are the two top priorities for our people. And it's up to, I mean, they talk about Fine Gael TDs coming and going. I mean, for me, it's not about the personalities. It's about what will they do. They've clearly got about two more years if they hang on to power, and it's up to them. And if they don't, then we'll have our turn. Hopefully, we'll do a hell of a lot better.
There you go, Martin. That's putting it up to you, isn't it?
Pretty presumptuous there, but I kind of get that sense from Sinn Féin a fair bit. It's a long way to go to the next election.
So, Louise, just to come back to that question on this big pot of money now that the government has, there'll be huge pressure around budget time to spend expansively.
Absolutely, and I think a government source actually gave out to me yesterday for asking about the budget and reminded me it's not till September or October, but that's the kind of space we're in now. We are talking about this budget because there is a huge amount of money. But one thing that I found really interesting when Michael McGrath was doing a press conference earlier this week, he was asked, are we going to see another budget like that one we had in September just gone? You know, that was 11 billion euro, 4 billion of that was one-off measures. And he really made the point that inflation, when the budget was announced, was running at 8%. Come September, October, it's going to be far lower than that. You could be looking at 4 or 5%. So there's not going to be the same pressures on people. So that to me sounded like he was trying to temper expectations to say we won't have this big, massive budget. But I think there will be pressure. I think just coming back to what Pádraig said, you know, investing money in housing and health, that's grand, but they can't spend what they have there in the first place. And I think people know that. So I think that is going to lead to calls from other departments, like education. And we know of schools and prefabs, what can be done there, all these kind of capital projects, the public transport system. I think those are the kind of departments that are going to be looking for all this additional money now come the budget time, now that we have this, what, 16 billion, 26 billion euro surplus over the next 2 years. Mm-hmm.
And there are key investments we want to make that will improve people's quality of life. And then there's long-term strategic thinking. But just back to the original point, Pádraig could nearly have us believe here that the economy is doing really well just kind of by accident, irrespective of who is in charge, and Sinn Féin planning how to spend all the money as if they're a divine right to be in there. But, you know, I don't take for granted the fact that our inflation rate is dropping. The measures we have taken, led by Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath, you know, are really working when you compare us to the UK that have an inflation rate of 10% now. So the decisions politicians make do really matter, and you can't presume that you'll always have a thriving economy. That's something that doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah, I suppose housing, though, is the main concern for people.
Is.
And we saw the missed targets, even the miss on the revised target when it comes to social housing this week.
We know supply is absolutely the key determinant and the main
what
metric.
What about bureaucracy?
And I'll come to that. There are constraints, and there will be constraints irrespective of who's in power. There's constraints about people who object to planning permissions. There's constraints, and we're bringing forward a planning bill that will try and streamline some of those constraints. We have constraints of a capacity in our economy in terms of availability of construction workers and the rest. But the fact is that the key metric that matters the most is overall supply. And in terms of overall supply, our target was 24,500 homes. We delivered 30,000. And it's still not enough. We're going to deliver more.
Affordable housing.
And Pádraig doesn't want to hear about first-time buyers because Sinn Féin would do away with the first-time buyers grant.
What about affordable housing? I mean, you've a reality now that young people, not just in Dublin, but all across this country, who both work, who got themselves trained up, got themselves educated, they cannot have a reasonable expectation to own their own home. Like, so what are you doing about affordable housing? That's the big issue.
I'm from a party that has home ownership at its core.
Affordable housing.
The fact is, talk about the 38,000 first-time buyers that, through the support of the first-time buyer grant, are now homeowners.
That's the one that can afford it.
first time buyer's grant that Sinn Féin would do away with.
Do you know what? I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you all very much for coming in. Pádraig McLoughlin, Martin Hayden, Jennifer Kavanagh and Louise Byrne. We'll be back with you next week. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you to the team. The programme today was produced by Niamh Lyons, research by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinators Louise Kerr-Ross and Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound today. Now it's over to Louise Duffy.